Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Searchlight Town Advisory Board meeting, October 9th, 2024. Quick disclaimer, this meeting will be audio and video recorded. Audio recordings can be found on Clark County's website, and the video recordings can be found on YouTube under Searchlight Town Advisory Board. Note, all items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners Zoning Commission or Clark County Planning Commission for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices. Please take all private conversations outside the room. With a 48-hour advance request, a sign language interpreter or other reasonable effort to assist and accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling 702-455-3530 or at Relay Nevada toll-free at 800-326-6868. Supporting material provided to the board members for this meeting may be requested from Tammy Harris at 702-298-0828. Supporting material will also be available at the Clark County Department of Administrative Services, 500 Grand Central Parkway, 64 Las Vegas, Nevada. And supporting material will also be available on the county's website, clarkcountynv.gov/searchlighttab. Board members Kyle Myers, chairperson, James Allen, vice chairperson, Kim Colton, Natalie Jenner, and Kayla McGinnis, Secretary Tammy Harris, and County Liaison Mark Moskowitz. Well, this time I'd like to call a meeting to order, and if we could all rise to the Pledge of Allegiance. Here, James Allen,
present.
Kim Colton, absent. Natalie Jeter, absent. Kayla McGinnis,
here.
Okay, we have three members out of five present. And moving on to public comment, this is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. If applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Any public comment out there? Thank you. And moving on to approval of minutes for September 11th, 2024.
Make a motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
And the motion was to approve. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed 3-0. And approval of the minutes for September 25th, 2024.
Make a motion.
Second.
And the motion was for approval. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion for approval 3-0, and approval of the agenda for October 9th, 2024. Will combine or delete any items?
Motion to approve.
Second.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved 3-0. And moving on to informational items. Item number one, receive a report and updates from South County Liaison Mark Moskowitz regarding the third annual animal vaccine clinic held on September 28th, and any other updates from Clark County.
Very good. Perfect, thank you, Chair. First, I want to thank everyone for coming out to the animal vaccine clinic. We had nearly 50 cats and dogs vaccinated, so another successful event. I want to thank the fire station for letting us use their area and for seeing everyone. Also on that day, we had the dental van here at the community center. They were able to see about 8 patients. They had a little snafu at the end, but please let me know if that's something that you're interested in, if you would like to have that come out again. They're looking to have more people. I know I've spoken with a few members of the board to have them come out again, so we're just trying to get a full schedule. They do full service and everything. It's pretty remarkable, so that was very exciting. I want to let everyone know next month at the town board, Public Works will be here presenting on the Cottonwood Cove project. So just as a little FYI, they'll be here. It'll be the engineer on the project, so be sure to come with some questions. They'll have a little presentation and maps, all that, so good input. As always, we have our newsletter in the back, so if you'd like to get a copy of it, please grab it. If you'd like to get an electronic copy, let us know. We can get it for you as well. So it's got a lot of good information. Talks about the vaccine clinic as well. I also wanted everyone to know we have a celebrity that works in this building. Michelle Brown made the front page of the Las Vegas Sun for the Searchlight Community Garden. I want to thank Devin back there as well. And Kyle, we had a really wonderful interview with the Las Vegas Sun talking about how great the community garden and how it's a really good project. We made some copies in the back if you'd like to grab one and read it yourself, and if you'd like us to send you an electronic copy, we can. So we're really happy to see a great story come out on the community garden, see truly how it is a community garden. So I want to thank everyone for that. Lastly, I want to apologize. This evening, I'm going to have to leave at 6:45 p.m., so I'm so sorry for that. But if you need to get a hold of me, just call me tomorrow or email me. But I have another commitment that I have to make, so I apologize for that. But I think I see all my regulars out there, so I think we're all good. But yeah.
That's a bunch of good stuff from Mark, Clark County. Do we have any questions for Mark? Anything from the board?
Thank you, Mark.
Yep.
And item number 2, receive a report from Metro Police regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns. Do you have a report on that?
We have a report.
James, do you like to read that one for us?
Searchlight calls for service, September 34 calls for service this year. Last year, 14 calls for service, so a big increase, 142%. August, 25 calls, 25 citations. In September, no DUIs. Juvenile citations, zero, some issues at Terrible's, looks like 2, and then at the BB Hotel, 2. The first call for Terrible's was a domestic call where the parties were separated, no injuries, and officers arrived, they were gone. Second call was an injured sick person and medical was called out. The first BV Motel call was for a subject walking around making threats, but the call was unfounded. The second call was for assist unhoused person, but the subject could not be located when they left. That is it.
Thank you. To item number 3, receive a report from Kim Colton, Searchlight Volunteer Fire District, regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues.
No report.
I just have one quick thing. I want to thank Searchlight Fire Station yesterday for doing National Night Out and grilling all those burgers or hot dogs for everyone. So it was good that they were able to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And we have no report for those who didn't hear from the fire department this month. And item number 4, receive a report from Sandra Yasinchuk, the Justice Court, regarding statistics and other activities during the past month. Laura, would you like to read that one for us?
So for the month of September, there was 13 arraignments, 15 status checks, 7 all hearing trials, not to include walk-ins for traffic court, 218 new civil citations filed, 85 criminal misdemeanor citations filed, 5 probable cause, 4 new criminal complaints filed from the district attorney, 321 cases closed, and 26 new active warrants. And the criminal court date is October 8th. That passed, and the 22nd. Traffic, October 9th and the 23rd. All court dates are open to the public and begin at 10 a.m.
Awesome. Thank you, Kayla. Moving on to item 5, receive a report from Kathy Flanagan with Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the status of the water system.
Good evening. Water use for September 2024 was just slightly over 4 million gallons. September 2023 was 3.2 million gallons, so it was an increase of 890,000 gallons. But our distribution department, they made a water main repair last month, and there was a property with severe irrigation issues that we think account for at least half of that overage. Plus, it's been unseasonably hot, so none of this is a surprise. And the good news, it appears that Searchlight's water use is gone back to normal. I did want to let you know that in December, the Las Vegas Valley Water District's board will be updating or considering updates to Searchlight Water System's service rules. The last time they were updated was 2008, so we're due. The changes that are going to be considered are all already adopted into the Las Vegas Valley Water District service rules. And also Clark County Code, they've been implemented over the last 4 or 5 years. So now we're bringing them to the small systems that we operate. So Searchlight, Blue Diamond, Kyle Canyon, and Laughlin, they're all doing the same thing. Just briefly, the first change deals with restrictions on non-essential water use. So this would prohibit using the county's water for man-made lakes, ornamental water features, recreational parks, golf courses, new turf in new development. The other change is the implementation of significant penalties for water theft. So in a nutshell, if anyone gets caught using water or pulling from a hydrant without an appropriate meter, they will be penalized and fined. Because of the water theft fee, NRS requires us to do a business impact statement. So on September 18th, we sent out letters and emails to all of the businesses in Searchlight, and we told them what the changes were going to be, and we asked them, would these fees cause a significant burden to them or stop the business from thriving and growing? To date, I've not received any comments from any of the businesses, and that comment period ends on October 14th. A hearing for the business impact statement will be held on November 5th at the Water District's board meeting. Assuming that there's no complaints or objections, the adoption of the new service rules would happen December 3rd. And all of the changes go into effect January 1st, 2025. And that's all I have tonight. Does anyone have questions?
Any questions out there from the public? We have anything from the board? Right, thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you.
Right, item number 6, receive a report and overview from Jeff Johnson, Las Vegas Valley Water District Senior Hydrologist and Nevada Division of Environment Protection and RCI regarding the Source Water Protection Plan.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Jeff Johnson. I'm with the Southern Nevada. Sorry, should I say we say Southern Nevada Water District? I'm with the Las Vegas Valley Water District tonight. We're gonna talk about the Searchlight Community Public Water System. The Searchlight Public Water System Community Source Water Protection Plan. The idea behind the Source Water Protection Plan is to protect the local water supply and give you guys guidelines in order to protect that resource. Searchlight has a very reliable water, safer water system. That system is really,
This is a lot easier to talk.
I'm not saying that darn podium. The Searchlight water system is really reliable and fairly robust. As you know, it uses three wells, two primary wells. Either one of the primary wells can sustain the entire demand for the Surfside system. The third well is a backup well, and that backup well is used intermittently as needed. There's a fourth well. That fourth well is a future production well. It's drilled and in place, and it would be needed and brought online if and when it's needed. The EPA and the So the system is reliable enough that it has there the my bad, sorry. The system is reliable enough that the water quality for the distribution system is maintained by the water district, and it meets all federal and state standards. In addition, you guys are on a centralized sewer system. That centralized sewer system helps protect our water resource because you're not sending that effluent back to septic systems. The EPA, the National US EPA, and NDEP, the Nevada Division of Groundwater Protection, have programs in place that they administer to protect the groundwater systems. And the Las Vegas Valley Water District has initiated some of those programs. Those programs have been in place for a long time. They are now called source water protection plans. They used to be called wellhead protection plans. The Las Vegas Valley Water District initiated the source water protection plan this year when NDEP approached the Las Vegas Valley Water District and mentioned that they were going to update the overall plan for Paiute Valley as administered by the Clark County area-wide water quality report that was published in 2009. So based on that, the Las Vegas Valley Water District acknowledged the fact that we hadn't updated the wellhead protection plan since 2004, and we had told NDEP that we would like to participate in the Paiute Valley plan as a whole, and would therefore update our plan on our own and then move forward with that. So with that, the Las Vegas Valley Water District updated the plan based on new hydrologic information, new information related to NDEP's database and website. And we completed that plan and presented it to NDP as a draft. They've approved the draft, and we're now presenting it to you guys. What I'm gonna do now is just kind of give a very high level overview of that plan. I'm not gonna go into a lot of detail because you guys really don't have the time for it, but I will touch a little bit on some of the maps and stuff I have there in front of you. The plan as a whole really focuses on the development of protection areas, and those protection areas are based on the groundwater system and the hydrologic conditions of that groundwater system. So the maps in front of you, if I can step up here. This is the Tampa Searchlight. The blue lines represent the distribution system. The outlined area is the service area. The wells S2 and S3, S1 located here. S2 and S3 are the primary production wells. S1 is the backup well. S4A is the future production well. The regional groundwater flow gradient flows from the northwest to the southeast. And the concepts behind this are is that we would develop protection areas, which we could administer as protection areas that would protect groundwater from potential contamination. And that contamination can come from really three sources. Top down, in other words, somebody puts something down a well, you dump oil in a well or something like that, it contaminates the groundwater. You can have spills. You can leach stuff on the ground, things can spill on the ground, you have an accident and it spills and it leaches into the groundwater system. The other way is you can have contaminants enter the groundwater system that are already underground, say from septic systems or something of that nature. When those septic systems leach, it then infiltrates in the groundwater system and potentially can contaminate your regional water supply. The nice thing about the Searchlight public water system is that these wells, the depths of water are relatively deep. They're over 500 feet to water. And S2, in addition, is also deep. So what we did, Jack Childress here modeled, did a groundwater model. We looked at the capture zones, 10-year capture zones associated with these wells. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, we added protection areas associated with these well sites to add additional protection for unknown conditions underground and some of that variability. Within these protection zones, then, we looked at potential for contamination. We reviewed NDEP's database and found that there were no discernible points of contamination for these sites.
The biggest thing is with these sites, of course, is these wells are within the Spirit Mountain National Monument, as well as the ACEC that's administered by BLM, so there's very little development, very little chance for contamination. It's a little different with S1. S1 is kind of in the middle of town. There are older mining claims near that and some old adits that have a potential for contamination. So we've outlined those. The facilities that are down here all are gated, they're fenced, they're patrolled by the Las Vegas Valley Water Supply Security on a regular basis, so they're fairly well protected. But the concept here then is to administer these in a way that lets you guys, as the Town Advisory Board, interact with the Las Vegas Valley Water District and Clark County to make wise land use planning decisions. And those decisions can be, as an example, do you put a gas station near S1 with an underground storage tank? What we're saying is that these areas would not do that. They would be areas of protection that would help make those decisions and try to protect that regional, your regional sources of groundwater. So the plan also outlines detailed management strategies, and those management strategies include ongoing coordination and public involvement like we have here. It also includes outreach through billing and things like that. And then it also works with the local programs, everything from the fire department, the Southern Nevada Health District, you guys, Clark County, NDEP, in terms of coming up with objectives and plans in order to deal with that. And then within that, we've got everything I'm talking about is outlined here. The planning team is very much like it was in 2004. It includes the Town Advisory Board. Here are all the emergency contacts. These are site-specific issues that may be around the wells themselves. And these are management strategies in order to deal with anything that may come to fruition. And then there's public education. And that public education focuses on communication through the town board, like we're doing now, and like Kathy updates on a regular basis. And then also through billing and information and anything else you guys want. So in terms of process, what we've done is this report has been reviewed by NDEP and the Las Vegas Valley Water District. We felt it was appropriate to go to you guys. There are full copies of the report in the back of the room for your guys' review. We're looking for your input on the program. We'll take your feedback, add it to the program, resubmit it to NDEP with those modifications. Then we'll run it through a board, either you guys as well as perhaps the Las Vegas Valley Water District Board for approval. Once it's adopted, then NDEP can actually come in and do what we call, what's the term?
Endorsement,
thank you. They'll actually come around and endorse the program. And the advantage of the endorsed program is that this program is actually voluntary, but it's important for the Las Vegas Valley Water District to help maintain that water quality and that safe system you guys have. It also is a checkbox in terms of getting some state and federal grants that a program like this is in place. And so that's why it's so important. And again, this Searchlight Community Source Water Protection Plan will be integrated into the overall Paiute Valley Plan that NDP is in the process of wrapping up, which also includes Calabari and Palm
Gardens.
Springs, Palm Brother.
Palm
Gardens, sorry, Palm Gardens. And so their plan incorporates that. Our plan is an appendix to that overall plan, and then would also be approved. Sorry for the rough start, you guys. Questions?
That was very thorough. Any questions from the board? So are you guys just starting the process on this, or?
So, not really. So NDEP approached us back in January. And so with Clark County's area-wide water quality plan that was published in 2009, they actually administer planning areas, and Searchlight is within planning area 8. And so NDEP is systematically going through and trying to update and develop source water protection plans for all these small communities' water plans. And they said they were going to do that plan, and did we want to be included in that, or should they do Searchlight? We said, with our information and our background, let us go ahead and update our 2004 Wellhead Protection Plan to the Community Source Water Protection Plan. And so we've done that over like the past 9 months. And so we've interacted closely with them, and they're in the final stages of dealing with Calabari and Palm Desert.
I think it's a great program. Definitely like to keep us in the loop and updated on any progression. Do we have any questions from the public?
Can I make a quick statement?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Ethan Mason, NDEP for the record. I work with Bureau of Safe Drinking Water. I manage and run the Source Water Protection Program for the state of Nevada. I work heavily with public water systems, county boards, water boards, and local town advisory boards to really get across the point of how we take seriously water quality across the state of Nevada. And an important factor of this program is both voluntary and non-regulatory. So we deal with looking at contaminants and sources of contamination that are not regulated under the EPA currently. That way we can get the best quality and best picture of your water sources as they currently stand. So really, I'd like to give a big thanks to Jeff and Jack and the LVVWTD team that really took the initiative in making sure that they updated your current wellhead protection plan to a source water protection plan. And that's really important because ultimately it's your guys' water. The state of Nevada doesn't own these plans, they're not our plans. We do this because we think that at the local level you can have the biggest impact on your local water. Education, outreach, funding all come from a local level, largely here in the state of Nevada. And you guys have a lot of power over your own water. So we want to give more of that power to you. There's some resources in the back if you guys need any from the state of Nevada, fact sheets and some business cards if you guys have questions about the program. Ultimately, LVVWD did a great job on this plan, and we look forward to working with them in the future on it as well. So you guys have the draft to review, give some comments. We like to take those in seriously, and I use RCI, or personal contractor for source water protection, to actually review these as well as myself, ensure that they not only meet state guidance, but they also meet your local planning guidance. We look at your local plans, such as the 208 plan that wellhead protection fits into, as well as source water protection. So overall, it's a really good program for you to invest a little bit of time into. That way we can give you the most reward in the end. And so thank you very much for your time. And I'll pass it off to the next speaker.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. How long do they have to give their comments here?
It depends on LVVWD and how long they feel
necessary. Sorry, I didn't mean to ask the trick question.
No, I don't yet.
It's a really good question in terms of how long you guys have to respond. I think the real question that is how long do you need, right? It would be nice to get comments back, say by the next town board meeting, you know, a month from now. I think that's fairly realistic, and then that way we can also maintain the plan that the NDP has put forward, and that we're not slowing down their Paiute Valley plan as well.
Would that be like through an online submission, or?
I tell you what, the best way to do is just get it back to Kathy.
Yeah, any comments, my email address is on the website. Any comments can come to me, and I'll make sure it gets to where it belongs.
Okay. And like I said, there are 5 copies or 10 copies of the whole plan back there. You guys have copies of the board presentations here, and we can go ahead and do these. Leave you here if you guys have any questions.
And then, so we'll be seeing you guys back around again, or?
You certainly can if you want to hear me babble in the beginning.
Very thorough. I love it. All right. Well, if there's no questions, board, give the public one more opportunity. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
To item number 7, receive a report from Will Smith of Park County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the wastewater system and water usage. James, would you like to read that one for us?
So for September 2024, treated an average of 42,000 gallons per day compared to 40,000 gallons per day last September 2023, difference of 2,000 gallons per day. No sewer interruption complaints for September, and next year, and probably for your day, and that's it.
Thank you, James. And moving on to item number 8, receive a report from Parks and Recreation regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities.
Our report.
and we don't have a report on that one. And moving on to item number 9, receive a report from Kelly Lewis, Sullivan County Coordinator with UNR Extension regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities.
Well, hi Kelly. Hi Devin. Hi everybody. Okay, it is just truly an honor and a pleasure to always be up here in Searchlight, so thank you to everyone. 4-H has just been kicking butt. We have a new teen group going on Friday nights now. We started to have so many kids start to come to see us on Wednesdays that we had to split them up because of ages. So this is just awesome. This week they're doing archery. I think in 2 weeks they're doing fishing. We already did one fishing thing, and they're going to do fishing and kayaks. It was our honor to be at National Night Out. Thank you for that invitation. Kelly had a great time. Our kids, our 4-H elementary school kids are finishing up robotics, but it was such a pleasure today because none of them wanted to do robotics and they all played in the garden. We've got 2 more weeks of robotics and then we're starting music with the children. The bigger kids are in our group and then in our teen group, and then some of those kids are even in their own robotics group, a kind of separate one, where this is unreal. I never did anything like this with my own children. So it is one of these robotics tournaments where they've actually built the robot, they're programming the robot on the iPads, they have to program the robot to do specific tasks. It's amazing. So we've got Searchlight kids going for their first scrimmage. This is this one's called First Nevada, but the program that runs First Nevada, there's a First National, so it's pretty cool, everyone. Be proud of them when you see them. We have, on October 14th, that's next Monday, I'm going to be hosting a hike in Laughlin. We're going to be hiking the Laughlin Labyrinths. If you've never been there, they're kind of cool. It's not a hard hike. It is loose gravel. There is one small incline, and it's still going to be really hot, so come very prepared. Congratulations to the 2 master gardeners. Almost! Both passed their test. Did we lose Auburn? Yeah. So you guys have 2 new Searchlight Master Gardeners on their way. Our garden is doing great. Thank you to everybody who's been putting it up. The article was just amazing and such pride. We are still working on a couple of kinks. And you guys, if I dare say, we could be ready for like a farmer's market in 1 year. Would you think I was crazy?
We're going to do it.
All right. It's going to get there.
Yeah.
I do a lot of gardening in Laughlin too with those kids, and I just got some really good vibes and potential for some really cool that farmer's market could be in our future in a year. You know, give us about a year to get this together, but good stuff. Thank you from 4-H. Thank you, Searchlight.
Thank you.
We love being here.
Moving on to item number 10, receive a report from Tyler Young with Searchlight Library regarding current and upcoming programs.
Hi, I'm Michael, the assistant librarian, and typically I come here and talk about all the things that we have upcoming in the month, and I'll do that briefly, but then we are so much more than just books and videos. We have so many other resources too that many people probably have no idea. I just had someone today not realize that we carry the Laughlin Times for your convenience. Occasionally they'll have Searchlight articles in the Laughlin Times, but that's the closest local paper to where we're at here. But we have each week's edition. I keep about a 3-month supply of them before I discard them. So for this month, Thursday is craft day, so at 11:30 we have different crafts all month long, primarily Halloween themed because of the month this month. I want to focus specifically on the one we have on Thursday the 24th. We have an expert coming in that's going to be helping you make a rustic American flag. So that's a special event. That's the day we typically just have standard painting, but this is going to be a special painting event with an expert to come help everybody out with that, and that's on Thursday, the 24th of October. Saturdays is movie afternoons. We have different Halloween-themed movies all month long at 2 p.m. We have popcorn and beverages for your enjoyment. On Friday, October 18th, we're going to have a professional come help you with your finances. It's a MoneyWise workshop. This is someone who is a particular expert in that field of financial awareness, and that'll be at 3 p.m. on Friday the 18th, which is after the hours were normally open, but it's a special event, so we will obviously be open at that time at 3 o'clock that day. So what do we have other than the books and the videos? Well, we have feminine hygiene products for ladies available. We have two different varieties, and you just say, I'm here to see Marilyn. That's the code to tell us, so we can provide these, and they come in this packet, and I think it's got maybe roughly a month's worth of feminine hygiene products, which my understanding, they don't have available for sale anywhere in this town, so come see the library for that, and don't be embarrassed. Something else we have is state park passes, which are good for 1 week from the time you check them out, and they're good at every state park throughout the entire state of Nevada. If you do go to Big Bend, however, in Laughlin, they are recently requiring you make advance reservations, but if you go anywhere other than there, you can just present this pass. It's inside, it's locked, but inside is the actual pass, and you get in completely for free, and that's good for 1 week from the time you check it out. We also have health kits where you can check your blood pressure. It's got a touchless thermometer and a fingertip pulse oximeter, and these are free to check out. I'm not sure the duration of time, I'm guessing a week, but this is, if you want to check your health, this is something, when you return it back to us, obviously clean it thoroughly for the next person to use, but we have a couple of health kits available if you're interested in that. And then, if you want to take that winter road trip, we have road atlases available for rent. We have more than one, so don't be afraid to check one out and return it 1 week later. But if you want to travel and you don't have a road map of yourself and you don't like those GPSs that always direct you into the wrong place, the good old maps are the way to go. So, any questions?
Any questions out there for the Searchlight Library? Any questions from the board? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
Item
number 11, receive a report from Kyle Myers regarding current road conditions and public works concerns. Mark already mentioned that public works will be out at the next town board meeting to discuss the Cottonwood Cove project. Last month, I had reported multiple potholes along Cottonwood Cove Road between the mile markers 3 and 6. And that's all I have for my report. Any questions from the public? Concerns? From the board? Thank you. And item number 12, announcements of upcoming neighborhood meetings and county or community meetings and events. Any announcements out there? From the board? All right. Item 13, announcement. Applications are available until November 14th, 2024 for appointments by the Clark County Board of County Commissioners to serve on the Searchlight Town Advisory Board for a 2-year term beginning January 2025. And as a discussion item, so is there anybody have any questions about that application process? There's also flyers on the back table there.
And applications.
With all that information along with the applications.
Yes, so the current board members, do they need to reapply for the
Yes.
Yes.
And moving on to planning and zoning. Tonight we do not have any. And general business, we have one item, review this fiscal year 2026 budget request and take public input regarding suggestions for fiscal year 2026 budget requests.
So I'll just say, so this, this we do this every year. It's more or less a wish list of items that the Searchlight Town Board ranks. And then what's really nice about it is that they rank them, and then I, as a liaison for Commissioner Naff, take it and go to each department and let them know what's of interest, what Searchlight's looking to do. A lot of times there's some that we can get done right away. There's other that maybe are bigger projects that they'll put on a capital improvement plan for maybe a few years out. So this is a really good thing, but like I said, it is a wish list, and we we work together really well with it. So that's just my only.
Thank you, Mark.
Like we had the garden on it.
Yeah, we did have the garden on there, so, and the splash pad. So it's not impossible.
And the park.
And the park, that's right. We've gotten quite a few things done over the years, and we just keep the list going in hopes we can get more done. So just keep the conversation to the board at first, and then we'll turn it over to the public in a moment. Have you guys been able to review your requests from last year?
These are the same ones.
They are. So tonight we're kind of just discussing it, seeing if we want to make any adjustments, removing things or adding things, and then at our next meeting we will be finalizing in November and then sending it off. So I did have some suggestions if you guys don't. So we did have the bike racks from Rex Bell on there, the bathroom and storage for Rex Bell on there, and the second parking lot for Rex Bell on there. I just think those are a little far-fetched at the moment with nothing really in the park. Maybe they should come at a later date and we should focus on, you know, smaller items that would bring more activities to the park before we bring the bathroom and all that to the park. And then there are actually two bike racks already installed in the parking lot there. So I would like to remove those three. And I have two suggestions to replace two out of the three. With the Conway Cove project coming around the corner, one item I'd like to add on would be speed limit radar signs for Conway Cove Road towards the first intersection as you come off Highway 95 and the first intersection coming from Lake Mojave. So it's on both sides of town there. Everyone coming into town on Conway Cove Road will be at notice with the speed limit. I think that would increase safety and slow down vehicles that are speeding, especially in the spring and summer months. And then, do you have something to say?
I was just thinking too, and I don't know if it could maybe be in lieu with that, or maybe even if on the Cottonwood Cove project we can talk about next month, is like how we have the crosswalks with the flashers, maybe having one there, like on the park, to go over that. I don't know. Or I guess maybe just an idea to have for the Cottonwood Cove project.
Absolutely. I have brought that up in the past, and so what happens, they do a traffic study, and then they base it off of the traffic. In my personal opinion, I think they pick the worst times ever to do these studies, when there's very low traffic, late winter, stuff like that. But unfortunately, the results of their studies are the results, but if you guys are open to throwing that on there, I'm not opposed.
Sure. And we can always redo another traffic study. We've got Andrew Bennett with Traffic Safety. He's got some new programs that kind of pull more broad data. So we'll like what I love with these is I run right away and talk to them a lot about these. So that's a good one as well if you'd like to bring that forward.
And so you're talking about like right there by the big store in the laundromat or closer.
I feel like I see more often like
on the opposite
with the
side.
Park, going to the park. So yeah, either side, I guess, before the base store or after.
Okay. So should we specify which one, or could we kind of like
maybe just
put it out there either of those intersections? Or
yeah, I think that's okay. If you want to list the intersections, that's good as well. They'll normally do the traffic study, like you said. If you want it to be more broad, I think being specific actually helps a lot,
Okay.
And then they can maybe look at the data and say, well, actually, this is maybe a better spot, or this would be something.
That was just a thought.
Yeah.
I don't know. I see a lot of kids.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is the time. If you want to put it on here, it's on here. So, that's up to you guys. I'm fine with it. So for the record, that would be Conway Cove Road intersection with Nevada Street and Cottonwood Cove intersection with Lincoln Street. And then my last addition would be for three more Cottonwood Cove Road solar streetlights. We did get numerous streetlights put up a few years ago. Unfortunately, it's not all the ones we need, but I feel with you know, the sidewalk and stuff coming on Cottonwood Cove, it might be a good idea to kind of brighten up this more eastern side here towards the community center. So, and specifically, there would be one streetlight at the Cottonwood Cove Road and Washington Street intersection, one installed at the Cottonwood Cove Road and Harry Reid Road intersection, and then one installed on Cottonwood Cove Road just west of the flood channel parcel, which would be where the culvert is installed along Cottonwood Cove. And those will be all my suggestions to the budget request for 2026. Do you guys have any that you'd like to remove or add, or outside of the crosswalks?
I see the teen center still here.
It is.
That's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still fine with the rest of the ones on our list from last year. The only ones I wanted to remove, or I would suggest to remove, would be the bike racks, the bathroom and storage for the park, and then the second, the gas line road relocation and parking lot would be the only ones that I would suggest to remove. But if you see others that you'd like to remove, or if something you'd like to see on there.
I guess, could you give me a quick history on what has happened? We don't have to go into too far a discussion, but on what has happened with the dog park request?
Okay, so so that was brought up by the Search Life Edmund organization a few years back. We were planning on applying for a grant called Bark for Your Park, where they will donate, I believe, I'm not mistaken, it was up to $25,000 for a new dog park. And the SBO got the quote from Silverlands LLC, which is the people who did the initial part of the bocce ball court for us. And they had given us plans, and at the time they gave us a small plan and a larger plan. At the time, the smaller plan was about $28,000. And the larger plan was, I want to say, about $35,000. And the SBO had come to the board to request additional funding as we went to apply for the grant. And then lengthy discussions ensued. And the people at the time were, you know, wanting a dog park. Or at least the people that attended at that meeting. So we just kind of shelved it, with the SBO shelved it. And in regards to the board, I don't think there's been any planning or action with the dog park.
No, nothing of recent. I know we were waiting first for Splash Pad to go in and maybe reevaluate. So we can always throw it on if there's interest again, or we can continue to work through with other grants or other opportunities too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that something you want to possibly put on to the request?
Would it help, or I guess if you guys learn the history, would it help bring it back up for discussion, having it on here? And then if we figured out a different route, we could go that route?
I mean, I just feel it was a mixed bag before the last time we talked about it. There was full people for it, and then the opposite.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, we can always bring up the conversation by putting it on here, and
okay.
You know, I'm sure we'll get some feedback from the audience here in a moment.
Just
one. Yeah, absolutely. So, James, do you have anything you want to add before I turn it over to the public?
Not this time.
to sign. All right, so I'm going to open the discussion to the public. You know, I do have the, do we have the last year's requests out on the table back there? Okay, so if you guys have them, if you see what we did last year, if you have any comments or suggestions, please come up to the speaker's podium.
Oh, can I just say it here? I think we have enough dogs in this town to justify a dog park.
Okay. Thank you for the comment. Thank you for the comment.
Yeah.
I got dogs myself, so I'm a little biased here.
Where would it be?
What's that?
Where would it be?
So where we had it planned before, there's a section actually right at the end of this road here, Michael Wendell Way. When you go up past the school, there's a large empty area at the end of the street. We were going to have it right there, as close to the walking trail. That made sense to close it to it, because what's planned there now is we try to squeeze it in between the walking trail and I guess it's actually planned to be a cul-de-sac or turnaround at the end of the street. So we were trying to fit it in between there so it didn't mess with the master plan in a negative way, so they didn't have anything to come back at us with.
Would they provide the little bags for the doggies?
So if a dog park were to be built, I would imagine, yes, they do for our parks now. And yeah. So for it to be a dog park, then I believe so, yes.
Okay.
So was there any other concerns or suggestions regarding the, please, Joan?
I'm about the dog park. Did you say that was $25,000 towards a dog park?
A smaller one, the smaller blueprint we had was roughly $25,000, yes.
I mean, it could go somewhere else because the dog park, there's very few people that really do take care of their dogs and would want them. That seems like quite a bit of money that could be spent elsewhere.
Sure, and I'm not disagreeing with that. It could just be, you know, we only got one quote as well. So, I mean, speaking with the Searchlight Bedman organization, I mean, there's probably smaller options we could do. If that's something we wanted to continue on with. Yeah. I know there was some talk a couple of years ago too about trying to incorporate a dog park into our regular town park, and I do oppose that idea. I don't think that's a wise decision with the blueprint of the park. But do we have any other? Yes, so that's what's been on our list for a few years now, is to demolish the old teen center and grade for future use.
Okay.
Yeah, because from what I understand, it's full of asbestos, and that's why we can't use it.
Okay.
Anybody else? All right.
What is that, James?
Mention a bridge of some sort?
For what?
Pedestrian?
Yeah, we're talking about a walkover bridge between Senior Center, just straight across. It just seems like a safer way to get across that street. I know we've got a blinky light and, you know, we can walk over, but cars still come very fast. And those, you know, our friends in the wheelie chairs, I just think it'd be safer if we could have a walkover like they have in Laughlin. You know?
We do, as you well know, Kyle and the board, that when they did the survey, the traffic coming up from the south on that rise when you come to the senior center, we couldn't get a crosswalk there. That's why they put it down, because she's right. We need something else, but it's very dangerous. I hate to see any senior try to cross from, say, the stores over to the senior center. The traffic is just too fast. And as far as a bridge or walkway, I don't think that would be nice, but I couldn't see that happening. Searchlight. districts, but definitely that's a problem, a big problem for our seniors.
I absolutely agree with all those statements. I think a pedestrian bridge over the highway would bring in a lot more than just a county request, though.
Yeah.
I think that would have to do very heavily with MDOT. And I think the county would only be involved when it comes to like right-of-way location. I do like the idea, I just don't feel it might be very appropriate for this list.
What about a signal light? Not the blinking signal, but an actual signal light.
Studies have been done in the next two.
At Highway 164? So we had a gentleman from MDOT here early this year, who was discussing the plan for when they redo the highway, which I believe is next year, possibly 2026. He had submitted that concern, because that got brought up in those conversations, and he had submitted that concern back to MDOT, and they were supposed to follow up with a separate study. I haven't received any answers about or if that study happened, but last we heard that study was to be performed at the location for a traffic light.
Okay, so can we check into that again as to see if
sure.
that might, because that may solve the problem, especially for the kids.
And I feel like we all know the traffic's only kind of getting more heavier, especially with the Amazon warehouses coming out and new gas stations.
Yep, so the pedestrian bridge and the traffic light study at the Highway 95 and 164 intersection, will follow up with possibilities on that with NDOT. And is that all from the public?
Okay.
I'm gonna bring it back closer to the public, bring it back to the board. So how do you want to approach the dog park situation?
So for the dog park, is those funds were a grant? Potentially SBO?
So at the time, which I want to say it was 2019, 2020-ish, when we did that.
Was it like a big company or?
It was a contracting company out of Las Vegas, a larger company, yes.
What I'm saying with the SBO, they found a grant for that, or just they were getting a proposal?
No, that we just received the proposal. We were gonna turn in for the grant, which was for a certain amount. I think we fell just slightly short, and we had pledged a certain amount of funds, and then we came to the board to ask for the rest, and then we kind of just backed off the project with the response that we got.
Was it the few thousand dollars, was that the issue, or was it just the park itself?
The park itself was a huge, sort of an echo of Jones' comment. You know, there was a lot of, we can do this, we can do this, we can do that, why do we need a dog park right now?
Right.
Mostly. And it is a heavy cost, especially with, you know, the kind of curve. That could bring a lot of cost. So, and then there's the fence, and then little dog playground and stuff, all that.
Was the grants that you were looking at, I mean, were they from companies or corporations?
It's from, it's called Park for Your Park grant.
Okay, so it's not really taxpayer.
No, it's from a large, I want to say dog food company that sponsors the grant. I'd have to revisit that. I'm fine with putting it on or leaving it off. If it's a county project, obviously it's going to be different from what the SBO looked at.
And I definitely do agree, looking at our wish list, that there is things that are higher priority, I guess it was just a future to keep in our minds.
Yeah, I mean.
Which, whether that is going through a grant potentially later on and maybe coming back to the board and need to.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, the SVO was still interested, less I know, but we, like I said, the SVO just kind of shelved the whole thing after, you know, the last response. But I mean, we can leave it off for now and visit it in the future. And, you know, if we can complete some of these larger ones, maybe we can squeeze it in the future.
Sounds good.
And so the speed limit radar signs, the Cottonwood Cove solar street lights, and the proposed intersections on Cottonwood Cove, we want to add those. And we want to remove bike racks, bathroom, and gas line road relocation from the list. I'll get with that. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, try to simplify this so it's not like a whole page. Make the motion that we remove the Rexbell bike racks, the Rexbell bathroom and storage, and the Rexbell gas line road relocation and parking lot from the Searchlight budget request, and add the speed limit radar signs, Cottonwood Cove Road solar street lights, and Cottonwood Cove Road crosswalk at Nevada Street intersection and Lincoln Street intersection.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed 3-0.
So next meeting will be?
Next meeting will be
prioritizing internally.
So I know last year there was a little bit of confusion. So do we want to do number one as the most important and then go our way down to 10? Or the inverse of that? One's most important? Okay. So we'll go with the one's the most important down to 10?
Right. So you want to do your prioritizing next meeting and then vote on it in December? Is that what you're requesting?
Could we do both at the next meeting?
No, because then I have to go back and put it in order as priority.
Gotcha.
So if you want to
kind of do
send me your priority list, that way I can get it organized and have it ready for the next meeting.
Okay. I'm good with that. Are you guys?
Yes.
I will send it to her. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. So if you like, I can update it with the new items and the old ones off, and then
that would be great. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Thank you, everyone. And moving on to comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. If applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Anything out there? Oh, Judy.
Judy Lendorf, Grandpa's Road. I guess this one's dead. Is this working?
It is.
You can take it off.
I should have mentioned these under announcements for future things, but Friends of Adequamay, every first Saturday we have a gathering out at Walking Box Ranch and a speaker. And if we don't have landscape working and there's time, there'll be house tours. And that's like between 9 and 12. And the next one will be November 2nd. There was a good crowd last week. And Equinox had come out and moved some gravel to fill some holes in the parking lot and drilled holes to put in some posts over at Wee Thump to prevent random camping. And on November 16th, we'll have Las Vegas Astronomy Club out there with telescopes. And I recommend you go to our website and sign up for any of these events if you want to attend. On another item, Metro's not here, but I want to thank them. An officer did go out to where the squatters are off Grandpa's Road, or actually it's a little Mike Road back in there. And it can't evict them, but so far, Clark County Animal Control's been out 3 times because there are chained dogs out there. Metro's been out once, and I believe zoning is coming out on the 22nd. So maybe we can, and BLM may come out because I think the, all the stuff that moved out there, probably some of it spills over into BLM land instead of just being on private parcels for people who have either passed or don't live around here. So, but Metro and Clark County Animal Control and now zoning are all looking into it. So maybe we'll get some action. Thank you.
That's good news. Thank you, Judy. Anybody else out there? Public comment? Alrighty. So our next meeting is November 13th, 2024. And at this time, I'd like to motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting adjourned. Thanks for coming, everybody.